I'll call the meeting to order, and if you're here, please check in on the computer. How are we doing? We have 31 board members present. That is a quorum. Let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let's start with the chair's report. I have a bunch of things here. First of all, if you are interested in going to WCA this September, we need to have you signed up by July 15th. I think after that, the price goes up, and our policy has always been that if it is late signing up due to your own fault, you pay the difference. So I would encourage you to not have that issue happen to you. Ray?
Do you happen to have the dates?
Arlene, do you have them? Arlene does. And where is it this year? Dells, that's what I thought. Kalahari at the Dells, I think that's where it was last time when it was in the Dells. Okay, what do you got there, Arlene?
It's September 25th, which is a Sunday, 26th, which is a Monday, and we finish on the 27th at about noon.
Okay, so 25th, 26th, 27th. If you're interested, just let Margaret in the chair's office know, and she'll take care of everything for you. But please do that before July 15th. We'll remind you again as we get closer to that date, but please keep that in mind. County Board leadership change. I actually was not expecting that I would be here tonight due to the budget in Madison, so that's why you have the written thing on your desk from me, basically indicating that I am submitting my resignation as chair. It will be effective, and Ginny, did you get that? Did we send it to you? Okay, good. It will be effective in July. We will do the election for a new chair at our July County Board meeting, and it will take effect actually with the on the following Monday. The rationale for that being personnel department says it's a lot, and finance says it's a lot easier to do these things with a switch of the payroll period, so that Monday starts a new payroll date. So the election will be that Thursday. The effective time will be the following Monday, though, and so that will be in July. Mr. Ebert.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and under that, guys, I wonder if it's possible that, like an hour before that meeting, that the people who would like to be chair would actually hold a little forum so that we can actually get some information, their vision on what with the new 29. If they would volunteer, I think rather than, you know, they're really interviewing for a job, and I think that would be nice. So I don't know if they would be willing to do that, but I certainly would find it as a, you know, someone informative and see what their vision is for coming up.
I think that's a great idea, whether we need a full hour or maybe just a half an hour. But I will try to set something up along those lines and encourage the people who indicate their interest in running for the chair to do that. We'll do that maybe just right next door or something.
And I assume that will have to be noticed.
Yeah, we'll take care of that.
Thank you.
Ginny, can you take care of that? Okay, good idea. Thank you, Ray. I'll have more to say about that as we get closer, but I just wanted to make that formal mention at this point. Before we do supervisor conference reports, I want to pull an item from Steve O'Malley's administrator report and move it up to the chair's report, and that is the state budget update. And I wanted to give you kind of an overview of what the budget at this point means to La Crosse County. And the Senate is debating the budget at this point. I haven't heard. Are they in at this? Anybody heard? Are they still in right now? There is an expectation that there will be few or no changes because over the last couple of days, when the Republicans were caucusing, the Assembly Republicans were caucusing, they were meeting with the Senate Republicans so that they would have as much coordinated between the two houses as possible. So probably not a lot of changes from what I'm going to tell you tonight. Let me just go through some items, some of which you're familiar with, some of which you may not know about. Family care, the cap still is in there. And I had asked our department to give me some information. There's the optimistic version, which is we'll be okay. There's the pessimistic version, which is that we're going to lose a lot of money due to the caps. And I guess it's just going to depend upon how things play out. But those caps did stay in statewide. Income maintenance, the compromise that was worked out with the county folks is what was adopted by the assembly, which is good news for La Crosse County. We're going to be doing a regional approach, and I think it's a maximum of, is it 10 regions throughout the state? And I want to thank the folks that are sitting right over there now, Dean Jason, also obviously Steve O'Malley, and Laurie, and I was going to say the social workers and staff in that department were awesome. And I want to digress a little bit and mention, you know, we've always talked about how influential La Crosse is. You know, when we go to the Counties Association, they're always looking to us for advice and so forth. I have learned, being in the Assembly, just how influential La Crosse County is statewide in terms of government. The income maintenance is a really good example in terms of how people here in our department and among our staff were able to have a statewide influence on the outcome of that particular issue. The second one that is a great example of that is on my list here, and that is the whole highway issue. As you probably heard, the proposal that came out of Joint Finance Committee, literally at the last minute, they were meeting into the middle of the night, and this came up, I think, in the last hour, where they threw it in that counties would not be able to do work for towns or for the state in excess of $100,000. When I heard about that, I talked to Steve. We talked to Ron. Ron had gotten that information also at the same time from his statewide organization. The three of us met along with Tara and Jill last week to lay out a plan in terms of how we could get the word out among the network that we have. Ron's group, Steve's executives and administrators, my contacts, and so forth. We also, quite honestly, very helpful person in this was Steve Matthey from the Matthey Company, who made phone calls himself, saying something needs to change here. And I think more than any other county or any other entity in the state, La Crosse County had a huge influence on the compromise that was eventually worked out. And I have to say, and it's sad to say this, I am not at all happy with the role that WCA played in this whole thing. I think that we basically got the short end of the stick with the deal that they had worked out. Their explanation was, well, it could have been worse. This was the lesser of the evils. And our response was, not acceptable. We will not, you know, stand for that. And so the phones lit up, and I know that Ron and Steve both called a number of state legislators, and their Ron's contacts around the state who called their state legislators and really got the word out to try to make a difference in this regard. There is nothing in this budget that we could say is a total victory. This one certainly would not be a total victory either. And Ron will give an explanation of what the details were that were worked out. Suffice it to say, it's better than it was after finance, not as good as it is under the current law, but I'll have Ron come up in just a minute. I just want to cover a couple other things. Youth AIDS, La Crosse County's cut by $150,000. Shared revenue, we're losing $1 million. Child support, we're losing $70,000 of state funding. However, that's a two-for-one match, so for every dollar we lose of state money, we lose $2 of federal money. So we're losing not $70,000 but $210,000 in child support. And in my discussions with Bill and with Megan DeVore, that is a huge, huge hit for La Crosse County, where we're already understaffed and have a huge caseload. So that's going to be one that has a significant impact. You probably heard a lot of talk over the last few days about the WISCNET, the broadband consortium among schools, libraries, colleges and tech schools. La Crosse also played an active role in that issue. The proposal that came out of finance again at the last minute was to basically not allow the university to participate in that, which would have caused the WISCNET program to essentially collapse. The compromise that was worked out was to allow it to continue for the next 2 years and in the meantime do an audit bureau study to determine how it's complying with the law and whether any changes should be made. That was a huge relief. Talking with some of the school administrators throughout our area, they told us that that would have cost them four times as much. And there was one school district, not in our area, that would even be worse, and I can't remember where this one was. It was a small school district where right now they're paying $7,500 a year, $7,500 a year for broadband access. This change, wiping out WISCNET, would have cost them $75,000 per year, so 10 times the amount. Most of the school districts were saying they thought it would be about four times the amount, so it would have been a huge hit. So that was, and a lot of people then also worked on that issue, so that was really good news. Final changes that they added to the budget at as part of the final Republican kind of compromise or whatever you want to call it, amendment, they put in a provision creating a local government civil service program. You've probably heard Steve talk on a number of occasions that one of the reasons why we needed to do an extension of our contracts was that there was a void. What happens if you have discipline issues or other sorts of things? We didn't have a civil service program. This does at least start putting that into the works. The changes in contributions for retirement and health insurance are effective August 1st. They are not retroactive, which was a big issue for, obviously, our staff was concerned that the talk at one point would be, you know, your last check after June 30th or your first check after June 30th might have been like zero because they would have taken retroactive, you know, 3 months worth of withholding out of it for health insurance and retirement. That is not going to happen. It's not retroactive, and it's effective August 1st. Those are the main things I have on my list. I'm going to call Ron up because the most complicated stuff is the stuff relating to highway. And Ron did a really good job in bird dogging this issue all the way through. So, Ron, give us an update.
Thank you. All right. What came out originally was called Motion 352. By any terms, it was really, really, really ugly. What we ended up with, I got a brief synopsis to go through with you. We looks like we're going to end up with a cut to GTA, ballpark about what the governor originally proposed in his budget. We're going to see a 0% increase in the discretionary portion of the local road improvement program as it pertains to county highways. That's called the County Highway Improvement Program. There had been a proposed, coming out of joint finance, there had been a proposed $5 million per year increase in that program that would have been spent on county highways in the state. That went away. They maintained the increases for the towns, but the counties specifically took a hit. The GTA for the counties also specifically took a hit, while the general transportation aids is what GTA is. The aids for the towns maintained whole. By the way, the towns endorsed Motion 352. So. The things that really did help us out of this change, they made a change in 352. There was a provision in there that would not allow us to perform work on our own system using state and or federal dollars. That provision was deleted. So we will be able to use, in this case, County Highway Improvement Program dollars on our system with our forces, meaning we will bid out the materials for those projects and then perform the work with our own forces and our equipment, which is critical to our operation. Probably the biggest hit that we took is item 37 out of what was passed, and that pretty much ends counties working together on improvement projects without exterior of the county's borders. What it does is it says that if it's an improvement project, one county cannot work with another county unless the project spans county lines. The county cannot, La Crosse County cannot therefore work with, for the most part, Vernon County, Monroe County, or any of the other surrounding counties, or any counties in the state, on what's an improvement project. And an improvement project, the easy terms to look at that, is a reconstruction project, an overlay project. Anything that will give a 10-year improvement to the road is an improvement project. So currently, the way that's proposed to go through the Senate, we're not going to be looking at doing a whole lot of construction cooperation, which is a bad hit for the counties.
Ron, am I understanding correctly that we have a deal right now with Vernon County where they do a striping and we do chipping? So that will come to an end.
The chip spreading is a maintenance issue.
So we're okay on that.
So the chip spreading will be fine.
Okay.
The striping, maintaining existing lines, we'll be able to do. The striping on a new pavement we'll have to let or do ourselves the way this is set up.
Okay.
So it's cutting, splitting hairs, but it's part of the improvement project, so we won't be able to utilize their services. They changed. They had a provision in there that in the DOT LET program, they do local roads. It's called the Surface Transportation Rural Program and the Local Bridge Program and the Surface Transportation Urban Program. There's a provision that allows DOT to allow us to handle the letting of those projects. Let some local control be done over local roads. That was proposed to be removed. That's now back in, and we'll be able to have that control should we choose to exercise it. They did increase the rehabilitation program for the state roads. That's a good thing for state roads. So funding that's done by private contractors for improvements on the state roads will continue to move forward. They reduced the proposed increase in state trunk highway maintenance. We in Wisconsin are the only state in the union that wherein the counties operate as the state DOT for the maintenance of the state trunk highways. That is a separate funding within the DOT budget. It's under the maintenance heading, and they reduced the proposed increase. They had proposed to increase $15 million per year for 2 years. They kept $15 million in there for an increase. The rest of the story is that the projected increase in salt costs for the state of Wisconsin just on state roads is thought to be someplace between $36 and $41 million. So we will likely be seeing a cut in funding to maintain state roads. Now, that does include winter maintenance, by the way. Okay. Another change that really did help us out in the process was there was a proposal to not allow the DOT to contract with counties to perform any type of what's called an improvement project, again, like I referenced before. And an improvement project is anything that adds 10 years of life to a road. That has been pulled. We can now do those. There was also a provision in there that did not allow us to do work with federal funds. That has also been pulled, and we will be able to use federal funds with our forces under what's called a local force account or a local force agreement with the DOT. Why that is so critical to us is the state does not fund the maintenance contract with us, which is called a routine maintenance agreement, for enough money to pay for the staffing and the equipment that they, quite frankly, require us to provide during the winter. So they need to have an alternative possible means of funding that. That alternative possible means is now still in place, which is a good thing. And as recently as this afternoon, I sat down with the region director, outlined a bunch of projects, and he seemed open to the possibility of being able to ensure that we have those projects going forward. That, however, is pending the secretary's approval, and ultimately the governor signs off on those contracts. So there's still a fact of if in the process.
Ron, is that the general issue that would have been about $600,000 a year for us? Or is that a different one?
No, that's the largest portion. The way Motion 352 was originally proposed would have meant between $500,000 and $600,000 a year, possibly higher, depending on the year, of impact, adverse impact on La Crosse County. This particular provision has the potential to not lessen or do away with that impact. That was our biggest hit. The other hit was not being able to do work on our own system with our own forces, buying the materials that money from the state would have supplied. And you know, that's kind of where we're at with those projects. Like I said, the thing that if you get the opportunity to talk to your legislatures, that really is left on the table. There's two items that out of all this I'd really like you to take away from this. One, the state is underfunding maintenance on the state system, and the lack of that maintenance puts the counties, including La Crosse, at risk for liability. There's Supreme Court case law, Morris versus Juneau County, in which we hold the liability bag for the maintenance done or not performed on State Trunk Highway, since we're under contract for that. Two is they are starting to gut what's in the statutes termed intergovernmental cooperation. It makes sense for units of government to reduce costs by working together. They're prohibiting that in the process of prohibiting us to, from working together on improvement projects within other counties. We also cannot work with them with city or villages in that state in as well. So those are the two things. If everybody takes something away, those two things are what I need you to take away and talk to your legislators about that. Thank you.
Questions for Ron Donvina?
I was on the highway for 10 or 12 years. If we turn down the agreement with the state for maintenance on state highways, would the state do it themselves? We would be liable-free that way.
Yes, we would.
And so if the cut is big enough, maybe we ought to consider telling the state to plow your own roads, salt your own roads.
I
don't know.
That's certainly a tool in the toolbox in the negotiation process. For those of you that may have seen it, Door County did just that during this process.
Okay.
For La Crosse County to do it, we have to send what is a notice of intent. It would mean that by October of this year, we have to issue the DOT a letter that we do not intend to perform that maintenance for them, and that would be effective January 1, 2013. They get a whole year's notice. That's the terms of the contract, the way our contract is set up. That is certainly something that was considered when I was discussing the additional work with the region director.
So do you know how much of a cut we're going to take on the state maintenance?
No,
not at this point.
Not at this point. The way that works is the entire maintenance pot, that number gets put through a formula called the level of service formula, and that, depending on lane miles and a whole bunch of other things, gets divvied up amongst the counties, and that's what goes out.
Ralph Geary.
You told us in committee who requested this, and which kind of surprised the committee, and who requested this?
It's my understanding that the real major push behind this was the operating engineers, local number 139.
Apparently there was I don't know, they called it a summit where it was operating engineers, Wisconsin counties, and probably DOT and other.
The summit talks were the operating engineers, Wisconsin County Highway Association. Mark O'Connell from Wisconsin County served as a mediator, the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, and the 139 and AFSCME.
Okay. Any other questions for Ron? Steve, anything to add on the budget?
Really small item, but I think it's very important. Again, where we're leading the charge on it was really with Bill's leadership, was that this is finally confirmed that WRS contributions for employees under the new requirement will be pre-tax. You recall that there was some question about that. Bill led the charge statewide on getting enough legal background and opinion on that. We had adopted the resolution, which you were supportive enough to adopt. This law settles that issue and doesn't have to rely on the resolution that you were kind enough to pass. Again, that would not have happened had Bill not been leading the charge on this issue. That affects every state, county, public employee, and doesn't make them pay an additional tax on the level of what was formerly paid by their employer under WRS. So Bill's leadership helped make that change happen statewide.
Any other questions on the budget? Chuck Spiker.
What status did recycling do come through the assembly? What did
they put
decide?
Most of the money, but I don't think all of the money back in. Hank, do you know any? You don't know any numbers? I think that they reinstated some of the money, but I don't think they put it all back in.
Okay, and they used some of that money for economic development that comes
right
out of the fee for the landfill.
Yeah, there's two components. There's the recycling surcharge and a recycling fee, and one goes to economic development and one goes to recycling. And they're renaming the one economic development fee, but it gets charged as part of, I think, the tipping fee. So. Any other questions? All right, a couple more things that I want to mention before we go on to Steve O'Malley's report. Out in the room out there where Bob and Jeff are, assuming there's some left still, is cheese from the dairy promotion folks. And fun facts that you need to know. Let's see. The La Crosse County Dairy Promotions is the sponsor of this, and they wanted us to know some things that you may find surprising. The dairy industry contributes $20.6 billion in revenue annually in Wisconsin. Dairy provides 40% of all agricultural-related jobs, which is 4.6% of all jobs in the state of Wisconsin, with over 160,000 dairy-related workers. Wisconsin has 14,490 herds with over 1.2 million dairy cows. The average number of cows per farm is 86. Wisconsin accounts for more than one-fifth of the nation's total dairy exports, or $224 million annually. The average dairy cow generates more than $17,000 in economic activity, probably more than any of you in this room. And there are 202 dairy plants, including 116 cheese plants in the state of Wisconsin. So information that I thought was pretty interesting. When you have a chance, go out there and grab some of the cheese and crackers. And speaking of that kind of thing, Marilyn, did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. Happy cows come from. Thank you. How could I miss that? So. On other fun things, Arlene and Jerry will give us the update on the picnic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The picnic is all set. Everything is reserved to be at Neshonnick again this year. Be on August 18th, and we're planning, hope we don't get bogged down like we did last year, but we're planning to eat anywhere between 12 and 12:30. And I would especially like to see some camaraderie with the fact that everybody comes out to eat and they got to rush right back to work. If you could take a couple hours off or maybe take the afternoon off and stick around, play some cards or some games and things. You know, it's a picnic. It's not a luncheon. If that's the case, we could have it here. Some of the things on the Arlene and I usually go out and we clip coupons and we try to get everything as reasonable as possible. But this year, all the picnic tables are going to be covered in white linen. We're going to have real silver and real dishes. Our luncheon is going to be, the entree will be Italian sausage, mozzarella, stuffed pork loins. We'll have buttered parsley potatoes, deviled eggs, a seven-layer salad, potato salad, watermelon we have and filled with melon balls and grapes and whipped cream on the side, traditionally baked beans, rolls and butter. They're going to make a big batch of lemonade for us, and we'll have milk in plastic cups. We won't have coffee this year because nobody drank any last year. And they will, for dessert, they have their own recipe. They will make cookie ice cream sandwiches. And for the vegetarians, they have their choice of vegetable and cheese stuffed portobello mushrooms, or two for rice stuffed green beans, stuffed green or red peppers. And that pretty much concludes the menu, and everything's all set to go.
Thank you very much for your efforts on that. Starting next month, we should start to get people signed up and start to collect money. Do you need any money before then, or is next month good enough?
We did spend this afternoon talking with the lady over there and getting all this information.
Great.
Thank you. So if we can have a thing to send around next month, can you?
Yeah. Can we do a sign-up sheet for next
month? Who's going to come? Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for all your hard work on that. I think that's everything I had under my report, so next up is Steve O'Malley. Oh, wait, we forgot supervisor conference reports. All right, now Marilyn.
I wanted to make sure that everybody knows that the county women in government rock. We had the Women's Build on Saturday. We had 17 women from the county government, supervisors, department heads, some labor union folks, and we raised $2,035. So congratulations to the women.
Good job. Maureen.
Thank you. I attended the quarterly lunch and learning session of the Greater La Crosse Area Diversity Council. The county is a partner on the council. The presenter was our own Bill Brockmiller, and it was a chance to learn more about what the 2010 census means. Just as our Hank Cook from the Solid Waste Department lives for garbage, Bill lives and dies for data.
All right.
Bill's point was that you have to know what the numbers really are in order to talk about issues of diversity. Further, no matter why you are talking about diversity, because you think that diversity brings in more ideas, that diversity training allows public workers to serve the community better, or simply because the government requires you to fill out forms, the workforce in the future will be different. The birth rate is down so that there are now more households in the United States with dogs than children. La Crosse is now, statistically speaking, old and white. The projections show increases in population not among whites. Whites have declining birth rates. Therefore, it is important to find out what changing demographics mean to attracting and retaining the best employees for the best workforce.
You're kind of depressing. Or I guess maybe it's Bill who's depressing. So. Thank you, Maureen. Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I think probably Supervisor Paff would be better at telling you exactly where, but you didn't mention that the county dairy breakfast is Saturday.
Saturday morning.
And it's in Mindoro at the...
is it Lund?
No, it's at...
Go ahead.
It's at Lash Farm.
I mean Lash, I'm sorry.
Which is located on... just off from 108 on Davis Creek Road. If you take 108 out of Mindoro through Burr Oak, it'll be the first right. You'll go straight ahead instead of making the turn. And it's, well, everybody's welcome. And there's pancakes and sausages and cheese and milk. And it's always a good time head by all. And music. Music for starting at 6 a.m.
It starts at 6 a.m. and goes
music starts then.
You're singing karaoke?
I yeah. will if you will.
That ain't going to happen.
All righty then.
Okay, and I thought, if you've never been to a dairy breakfast, I think it's something that's interesting for you to attend. First of all, as you're a representative on this La Crosse Arts Board, I want to mention to you, and you may have received a blue postcard like this in the mail today, about the beginning of the plans for the La Crosse Community Theater, Tuesday, June 21st at 5:30 at the Cargo Room in Riverside Center South. And this is one of the projects related to arts in the community. And also maybe if you have been doing some walking in the city of La Crosse, you've seen some of the storefront art. That was a project too related to trying to establish an arts district in the city, and it's just another one of those aspects of economic development as well as something that improves, I think, the quality of life. The second thing on your desk is La Crosse County transitioning from jail to community. I've mentioned this several times. We've been in this project for 2 years, and this will be the final visit from the people from the Urban Institute and National Institute of Corrections. The 2 years have gone quickly, and Jane and Captain Daggett and Mike Kiefer, Mary Kay Wolf, our members of the core team, have done a lot of work with this. If you are thinking about attending any of the sessions, the two that Ms. Claycamp felt would be best for your participation are on Wednesday, the June 29th, the 9:30 to noon, Communicating La Crosse's TJC strategy, and the sustainability wrap-up and next steps on how we would continue this project. Also in your packet, you had an annual report from the Mississippi River Regional Planning Commission. Serve on that commission as the county board appointee. And you have the annual report. I do have a hard copy of their annual update, and you can get that by going to the Mississippi River Regional Planning Commission website. So if you want to see just a more of an explanation, they do have it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Arlene, did I see your hand up?
Yes, you did. Thank you, Steve. I attended the conference at the Kalahari. It was 100th anniversary. We had awesome speakers. I also, Jim, Jeff, and Ron Chamberlain also attended. When I got finished with that, I went to the Kalahari and talked with owner Mike Kalinske. That's where we're going to be holding our next 3 years conference there. And he was telling me that they lost a highway commissioner, and he does such good work there. He's got grants, he's got this. And I said, well, do you know where he went? And he said, no. I said, I'm from La Crosse County. He is our new commissioner. So I thought that was a, really good for the owner to say that. He said he's worked very hard at Adams County and things like that. So that's one report. And I had a conference call with the Executive Committee, Wisconsin County Highway Association, for 2.5 hours, and everything that Ron has told you, everything was discussed, and he didn't miss anything. So last but least, the Legion on Memorial Day, we had a ceremony, and I drove Miss Onalaska in my convertible, and our guest speaker was Lieutenant Commander Ray Ebert of the United States Coast Guard. He did an awesome job. He gave the meaning of the words in the Pledge of Allegiance. And he was all dressed up in a suit with all the stripes. He looked pretty sharp. So that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you for that report, Arlene. Don Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to have this as a reminder. The county fair is coming up, and I did not get any brochures at our meeting on Tuesday night because the doors were locked. I will put those brochures in your boxes over here because the fair is coming up July 13th to the 17th.
We'll have policy planning before then, won't we?
Okay.
So if you bring them that night, that'll be good.
Okay, that would be fine. Okay, I never thought about that.
Okay.
But I just wanted to remind you to schedule that. Our fairgrounds are just about ready to go. The buildings are all in shape. And we're going to have something like 11,600 entries out there for people exhibiting at the fair.
Yeah, we'll have policy planning on the 11th. So you said it starts the 13th? Perfect.
Great.
Any other reports? Okay, now we get to Steve O'Malley.
Okay, one quick item that Ron and I needed to mention when he was up here on Highway. Public Works Committee members, that's Jim, Chuck, Arlene, Ralph, Jeff, Leon, and Jay isn't here. We need to have a special Public Works meeting Monday or Tuesday next week on a very short agenda item. Would you prefer Monday or Tuesday? Could I see a show of hands? I'm going to suggest 4 o'clock, since that's at the end of the business day. I don't know, Jim, that's usually a problem for you with school out. I suppose it doesn't much matter. Is there a preference? This Monday or Tuesday, it's a special meeting. We only need it for Public Works Committee. It's on a design issue that has to be expedited so we don't lose some funding on a road bridge project. Monday, okay?
Tuesday works better.
Tuesday consensus, we need to have a quorum. Is there a particular time that's better for everybody? 4 o'clock Tuesday, we'll go ahead and get that notice out, and Ron, I'll follow up on that for you tomorrow. So, okay? You'll get it in the mail, but it'll get out tomorrow. So.
Okay.
And Public Works members, if you want to talk to me after the meeting, I can explain it more. Ron talked directly to Chuck before we started the meeting, so. This next item, I want to come over here and actually, this is the fifth annual that our finance department has received the Government Finance Officer's Excellence in Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. And one of the things I don't think we always recognize is that it's not just about the quality of the data and the information that goes into this financial report, as well as the independent recognition for now the fifth year in a row from the highest respected group that represents public finance officers. But this is just one part of what our finance department provides our entire organization. The people that I'm going to introduce in a moment, because you don't see them except for occasionally in some of your committee meetings and once a year when we recognize them for this award, are the ones that work with all of our departments and make sure that we're taking care of the business of not just processing payments, but taking control of a budget and doing a number of things and being able to make sure that this team actually controls costs, controls taxes, and lives within the budget that we establish and we set each year together. This year, for example, as we're coming through the preliminary closing out of the 2010 financial statement, we're going to learn, and I've seen some of the preliminary numbers, that our general fund is stronger this year than it was in the previous year. And part of the reason for that is that our department heads respect our processes. They respect your policymaking and our administrative guidance to such an extent that they don't rush around at the end of the year and try to use up and spend money before they get to the end of the year. That happens in other agencies. That happens in other communities. Part of it is because of good, solid information from finance department led by Gary Engelson, Sharon Davidson, Jonathan Edwards, Sean Hanlon, and a whole group of other people that aren't here. Tonight is about a recognition for the fifth year in a row of the certificate from GFOA, but it's one small part of a very large financial operation that really touches every portion of our services throughout the entire organization. I am so proud of them, and Sharon and Jonathan and Sean, would you like to come ahead and at least be publicly recognized? We're just so proud of you. Gary reminds me when we do this, they're accountants. They don't want to talk real long or they're embarrassed by getting too much recognition. But thank you very much.
And it's obvious that you're not an accountant. Is that...
That would be true.
Based only on the length of talking.
I can keep... No, right.
All right.
Okay, I do have one other item. Don't have a lot to report, but... had a productive meeting this afternoon. Charlie Handy and I had a meeting scheduled with Waterplace One and their staff and representatives, and we were lucky enough that Steve Doyle was back in town and able to join us for the meeting. And so we revisited the issues of a joint marketing agreement. We made some progress, don't have a lot to report, but our adjacent landowners are still very interested in working with us on a joint marketing arrangement. Obviously, this is still a difficult market time as far as being able to market that land and get development on that site, but we're not giving up. We've got a lot of good ideas going on between us, and also working with the City of La Crosse has been very cooperative, working towards the idea of relocating the water and sewer lines that are over there that currently go through the middle of that site. That's likely to happen later this fall, as Charlie's discussions with the City Public Works Department, so that one building that's still over there, the lift station that the city has there, will no longer need to be there, right in the middle of our property. And the it's actually that little island is actually owned by the city, but it can actually be put together with the other properties and make for one solid development. So again, we keep working on it. Charlie Handy and representatives of Waterplace One are working really hard on it. Probably not going to have a lot to show for it this year, but I think we're getting things in place to jointly market that together instead of keeping the properties separate. So anyway, good successful meeting today. I don't know, Steve, if you had something else to add, but it was really helpful to have the chairman there to be a part of the discussions and trying to keep this moving along.
I mean, one of the issues that came up during the meeting, and I think we went almost 2 hours, was, you know, we've had this property for so long, should we just try to dump it, you know, just sell it for, you know, an extremely low price and, you know, cut our losses? And I'm not willing to do that. You know, if people on the board feel differently, then certainly let us know. But I think we're better off, instead of just, you know, setting it up for a sheriff sale and you know, getting fire sale prices for it, we continue to work with Waterplace One and wait for the market to rebound. I mean, I think that holding onto this land is the best approach to take. But again, you know, I don't own the land. If other people on the board feel differently that we should just you know, try to get rid of it as quick as we can, we need to hear that. But that was not what my sense was.
And one other thing, Charlie's been able to work behind the scenes with DOT and with the city. You should see in the fall an actual entrance monument going up on agreed upon right-of-way with DOT coming in just beyond the Wisconsin Welcome to Wisconsin sign. So the city of La Crosse has had a Welcome to La Crosse sign that they weren't able to work out the final details. Charlie interjected and helped get that established, so that's going to happen this fall. Again, we keep trying to clean that area up and improve it, and we're not giving up. We're gonna make something happen there. Yeah.
Jeff Schrader.
When Steve O'Malley was giving his description of what was going to happen there, did you say that the water and sewer line was going to go right through the middle of that lot?
It does right now, and it needs to be relocated, and that's part of the difficult discussions is how do you pay for that, because you still have company store and the campgrounds that still need to be served. It's a better plan to remove that from the center, which is where that that one little lift station building is that's actually owned by the city on a kind of a little postage stamp. That will get relocated so that building can be removed from the center of that site. And so it will no longer go through the middle of that area so that it can be served from the outer areas. So it's a correction of one of the barriers to development.
Any other questions or comments on that issue? Okay. Seeing none, we'll try to keep you posted. What else you got, Steve?
That's it.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. O'Malley? Seeing none, cards and correspondence over on the board there. No committee meetings during recess. And that gets us to appointments. Ms. Johnson.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have four appointments to the Transportation Committee, one to Harbor Commission, and one to Ethics Board. I'd ask for approval.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Transportation Committee, is that a city committee?
No, it's the County Coordinated Transportation Committee.
County Coordinated Transportation Committee, okay. And it's made up of all county board
There's staff
designates.
And there are citizen members.
Okay, thank you.
It's a mix. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those appointments are made unanimously.
Thank you. Consent agenda, is there a motion to approve by Roger Plesha, seconded by Jerry Sobranek. Any questions or comments on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us to Health and Human Services Board. Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item number 613, first reading of an ordinance entitled Mental Health Recovery Services Advisory Council. You'll see in the analysis that this is something that was requested to meet state requirements to have an advisory council to provide oversight and input to two mental health recovery services, both Community Options Program and the Comprehensive Community Services Coordination Committee will be merged together. So to replace the two committees, the Mental Health Recovery Services Advisory Council is created in Section 1.565 of the General Code, and you can see the members in the notes, and I ask that it be
held over
for 30 days. Thank you.
That'll be held over unless there are any questions on that. Okay. Ralph Geary.
Is there any fiscal implications? If there are, could we have it at next month's meeting? You don't need it tonight.
Okay.
I don't believe there are, but yeah, we'll
have that answer for you, though.
Check on it. Okay.
Any other questions? All right, that'll be held over. Next item.
Oh, the next item is 614, adjusting staffing levels and programming at the juvenile detention facility. And you heard a very good presentation on this last week. Whereas the Cross County Human Services Department operates a secure juvenile detention facility to support a capacity of 26 youth, which serves both Cross County juveniles and youth from other counties. It has a calendar year 2011 budget of $1,131,760, with 92% of the budget devoted to staffing costs. whereas over the past decade, the JDF's average daily population has been far short of capacity, with a decade high of 14 in 2000 and then steadily declining to 5 in calendar year 2010, consistent with a statewide trend in falling juvenile detention and juvenile correctional populations, which is not expected to change. Whereas revenue recouped by the JDF for serving non-La Crosse juveniles comes nowhere close to capturing the true daily costs, and whereas significant annual cost savings could be achieved by decreasing staffing levels in the JDF by a net of 3.72 FTEs, whereas additional annual cost savings could be achieved in conjunction with the recommended staffing reductions by implementing enhanced programming in the JDF to allow higher need youth to be served by the facility or currently sent out of county for services at a significant cost. Whereas in order to best assure an effective transition, it would be beneficial to complete the transition to the new staffing structure by October 1st, 2011, and whereas some JDF physical plant changes anticipated to be less than $50,000 would be beneficial to complement the staffing and programming adjustments. Now, therefore, be it resolved, it is neither necessary nor cost-effective to operate JDF at current staffing levels, and that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors authorize the Human Services Department to reduce staffing levels in the JDF by a net of 3.72 FTEs by October 1st, 2011, and proceed with preparations to implement, as of January 1st, 2012, enhanced services at the JDF for the purposes of serving higher need youth currently sent out of county, and authorize the finance department to make any appropriate account transfers necessary to purchase related physical plant changes to the JDF in calendar year 2011, not to exceed $50,000. Fiscal note, the reduction in staffing as of October 1st, 2011 is estimated to create $58,814 of savings in calendar year 2011 within the Human Services budget. Expenditures for any JDF physical plant capital changes under $50,000 would occur within the current 2011 Human Services budget tax levy allocation. I move for its approval and ask to retain the floor.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Jill Billings. Sharon Hampson.
I have an amendment to this. Jason Witt and David Steinberg did a lot of looking at this, and they've decided that what we really need is to change the figure of 16.36 FTE to 17.36 FTE, and the figure 13 full-time positions to 14 full-time positions, and this allows for the inclusion of the superintendent, and this was at the suggestion of finance, so I offer that amendment.
Is there a second on the amendment? Second. Can you write that out and give that to Ginny? Seconded by Margaret Wood. Discussion on the amendment to make those what I'll call tweaking type of changes. Ray Ebert.
Does that have an effect then on the fiscal note?
It
seems to me there's another position.
Yeah, no, Gary, can
no,
you?
No, the dollars were correct. It's just that when the document was prepared, the FTE count did not include the superintendent. So all we're doing is adding the superintendent in to the FTE count.
So the money was there.
Yes.
You just made
correct.
A clerical mistake and not included.
That's correct.
Thank
yep.
you much, sir.
You bet.
Any further discussion on the amendment or questions on that? All in favor of the amendment, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Any discussion on the resolution? Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one question regarding, because I apologize, I missed last week's planning meeting. I was at the Highway Conference. But does this policy change concur with any references towards juveniles in the CARE report?
Anybody want to answer that? Jason, you're going to?
I guess I would say that this change wasn't one that was specifically recommended in the Carey report, but it is congruent with the Carey report in the sense that we are increasing our ability in the detention center to provide evidence-based practices, which will be part of the new service track. and actually through the reintegration program to the community, it is very consistent with Cary, and it'll have a greater opportunity for juvenile justice staff who are being retrained in evidence-based practices to work with those youth as well. So while not specifically recommended by Cary, very consistent with that report, and it carries those recommendations forward.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Okay. I think it was mentioned last week about that we'll be able to hold kids for more than 30 days now under the new change in law. Is that...
That's correct. The Joint Finance Committee actually added a change to statute, which currently says you cannot hold juveniles more than 30 days in the facility. We would have been able to do that anyhow. Some other counties do. There's a technical thing that the judge can do with the order to allow that to happen, but it's much cleaner with this change that came out of Joint Finance and that we expect to be passed.
There was a change made yesterday that says after 30 days, not only do you have to do AOTA, but you also have to do counseling. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's
okay.
That was added yesterday.
Okay, and that's consistent with our program track we have in progress.
Figured it was probably no big deal.
Yep.
Okay. Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. Sharon Hampson, is that it for you?
I hope so.
Thank you very much. That gets us to Planning, Resource, and Development Committee, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have item 6-15, continuation of zoning petition number 1866 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Paul Hosch, acting on behalf of Big Event Company and Petaskey Land LLC to rezone commercial District B with conditions for marine sales to commercial District B to the town of Campbell. This passed unanimously. I move for your approval.
Motion approved by Don Meyer, seconded by Tina Weirs. Any discussion on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Continuation of item 6-16, continuation of termination conditional use permit number 710, termination number 77 filed in La Crosse County Zoning and Planning and Land Information Department to terminate conditional use permit 710 issued by to Tom Boyd of Airborne Date Link to current owner David Spencer for Airborne Wireless to operate a 100-foot telecommunications tower and facility on the land owned by Thomas Kenhammer on the land zoned Agriculture District A in the town of Madary. This passed unanimously. I move for your approval.
Moved by Don Meyer, seconded by Dennis Montai. Any questions or discussion on this one? Jerry Sobranek.
Just curious, what is the height limit?
Hi.
I know we passed that way back in 2003 or something like that, a long, long time ago. I'm sure it's in order. I was just curious.
Do you know the answer to that, Jeff? Okay, the limit is 290. This one is 100.
Yes.
Okay. And Jill Billings?
Now, is this going to be removed? And who pays for that?
Go ahead, Jeff.
The reason this application for termination was extended for another month, it was to give the current operator of the cell tower an opportunity to find another buyer. And he did not show up at our public hearing on this, so we terminated it. About a week later, we received a phone call from a local radio station saying that they wanted to purchase it. And they are in current negotiations with not the owner because he's been, I think he's filed bankruptcy, but Ultra Federal Credit Union has a judgment against him, so they're trying to work out a new arrangement with the landowner and Ultra Federal Credit Union to get a new lease on it. So we don't want to tear the thing down. So there'll be a new application for a conditional use permit whenever they're have their ducks in a row.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions? John Menninger?
I don't know too much about these things, but is this on top of the bluff up there?
It's up on top of the bluff. If you're going out Gillette Street, you look off to the left. It's up on top of the ridge.
Okay,
yes.
And then the airport doesn't have any problems with this? I mean, we had some recent helicopter issue up there that was tragic.
That's correct. It actually sits down a little bit.
But the airport signed off on this?
Yes. Yes, they have, and FAA has. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. Ralph Geary?
This company, are they in default with the revolving loan fund of the county? Or
that is correct.
Okay, that's the company.
Yeah. That's the same company.
That's the one.
Any other? Chuck Spiker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does this come under a cell phone ordinance? Remember the lady we had in from Indiana or something and drafted that ordinance? But that was a few years ago. Does this come
this
under?
This comes under our telecommunications ordinance.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 6-17, zoning petition number 1867 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Lavelle Granger to rezone from exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A in the town of Farmington. This passed unanimously. I move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Leon Paff to approve. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 6-18, zoning petition number 1868 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by David and Maureen Miller to rezone Agriculture District A with conditions for one single family residence to Agriculture District A for a total of 3 single-family residents in the town of Hamilton. I move for your approval to pass unanimously on the committee.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Dennis Monti. Any questions or comments on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 6-19, conditional use permit number 833 filed by William and Peg Lamprich, or a.k.a. Acme Excavating and Plumbing, and acting on behalf of Gerald and Carolyn Knobloch to operate an excavating and plumbing business in the land zone, Agriculture District A, in the town of Unalaska. Now, this passed unanimously with 8 conditions, and they're defined on your blue sheet for this particular one. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to those conditions. Is there a second? Seconded by Tina Weirs. Any questions or comments on that one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 6-20, zoning petition 1869 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Matthew and Kimberly Berg, acting on behalf of Colleen Wingem, personal representative for Todd and Nancy Collins, to rezone exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A in the town of Burns. This passed unanimously. I move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Bob Kyle. Any questions or comments on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 6-21, zoning position 1870 to amend La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Sean O'Flaherty, attorney acting on behalf of St. Joseph's Equipment Incorporated, for an after-the-fact petition to rezone from exclusive agriculture to agriculture district, commercial district B in the town of Greenfield. This passed unanimously. Move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, second by Don Bina. Any questions or comments on this one? Mr. Ebert.
Are these commercial district B, is that under the new ordinance or is this still under the old? So it's
We don't have the new one yet.
So, okay, so this is all.
This will be under the current one.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
This is kind of a housekeeping thing, really, anyway.
Housekeeping? Okay, thank you. Jeff Schrader, you got a question or comment?
Just a question. I was just wondering if there's been a flood of applications to go to agriculture A, means that's going to be eliminated in the new.
You're asking if there has been a flood of those?
Yeah, I'm just interested if that's happening.
Jeff, have any answer on that?
Yes, I do. To answer that question, we're still getting applications to go into the agricultural district A. However, Our advice is not to, because we're going to put conditions on it indicating that it's for one single-family home only. And I think you've seen some of those in some of the last petitions. So when the new ordinance takes effect, with that condition that we placed on it, they'll only be able to have one single-family residence. So the flip on that, you guys heard at the planning meeting, will be rural residential. So they'll only have one single-family home at that. So to answer your question, we're discouraging that. We're giving them the district they should be in right now.
Other questions? Margaret Wood.
Thank you. So if we would just go back to item 620 for the Berg acting on behalf of Wyndham, when it says, in order to sell the existing single-family resident and detached, does that relate to this issue?
Yes, it does. If you take a look at the map on the back side, I don't know if it's on the back side or not, there's no place for another home on that parcel anyway. So in a case like that, during the flip, the rural residential, they'd still only have one home. Otherwise, we would have put the condition on there.
I just wanted to see if I was interpreting what you said correctly to the document. Thanks.
Okay. Yep.
Does anybody have any questions or comments relating to the resolution?
Yeah, let's get back.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously.
That's
that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it, sir.
Thank you, sir. Public Works and Infrastructure, Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 6-22, approval of La Crosse County Landfill Master Land Use Plan. It's also attached to the resolution. The plan is. It was approved by the Public Works Committee on a 3-1-3 vote. It was passed unanimously by the Solid Waste Policy Board action. County, whereas county staff from Fulton Environmental LLG and the county's consultant have prepared the attached master land use plan for La Crosse County landfill after significant input from affected stakeholders, whereas the plan includes input and information from adjacent municipalities, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and other applicable plans and documents regarding to La Crosse County landfill, whereas the plan provides a guide to the county for future land use planning at county landfill site, whereas La Crosse County Solid Waste Policy Board and the County Public Works and Infrastructure Committee recommend approval of the La Crosse County Landfill Master Land Use Plan. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby approves and adopts the La Crosse County Landfill Master Land Use Plan attached hereto and incorporated by reference. Be it further resolved that any future actions pursuant to the Master Land Use Plan requiring the expenditures of funds shall be brought back before the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee and the County Board where appropriate for approval. Fiscal note, no fiscal impact to La Crosse County. Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Leon Paff. Any questions or discussion on this one? Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to amend the La Crosse County Landfill Master Land Use Plan. Under Chapter 6, the site vision, medium term, down a few notches there. I'd like to delete the purchase additional right of way. I think that the what we've seen so far, I believe that it could be accomplished with the land that we've already got there, with restructuring the entranceway there. I'm not against purchasing land, but if we put it in there, it's a must. And I don't think at this time we've seen anything that would warrant that we definitely have to purchase this land. So my motion is that we'd just to delete the purchase additional right-of-way under medium term.
Mr. Ferries offers an amendment to delete the reference to purchasing of additional right-of-way. Is there a second to that? Seconded by Jeff Schrader. Discussion on the amendment. Margaret Wood.
Thank you. Isn't the purchase of a right giving us enables us to say yes or no, but just in case another developer comes and wants to purchase it, that at that point we have to make a decision?
Well, let's get Hank in here to give us the status of what's going on. And Chuck, while we're waiting for him to come in, you're up next.
Hank and Charlie both.
Okay, Charlie, why don't you come on in too? Jim Burns and Sharon Hampson need to re-log back in since you had left and you were logged out temporarily. Okay, go ahead, Hank. You heard the question?
Yes.
In terms of the purchase of the Schrader property, the Solid Waste Department does not have a recommendation on the purchase of that property at this time. We've only asked that an appraisal be conducted on the property so we can determine what the value is. And we are asking our consultant to look at six alternatives as to how that can be developed. Four or five of them do not include that property purchase. Once we have determined what those alternatives are and which is in the best interest of the landfill site, then we'll bring that back to the Public Works Committee with a recommendation, and we'll see where it goes from there. So we don't have a recommendation to purchase that property at this time. We're doing an evaluation to figure out what's in the best interest.
Charlie, you want to add to that?
Sure. This is a plan. And just like any other plan, if it's in the plan, doesn't mean you have to do it. It's a recommendation and it's direction, but it certainly doesn't require it. So the amendment is definitely appropriate if you want to do that and remove that from the plan. But saying that because it's in the plan is something that we have to do is not accurate.
So if it's in the plan, we're not required to do it. If it's not in the plan, we're not prohibited from doing it. Is that what you're saying? Okay. I've seen hands all over the place, but I didn't write them down. So I see Leon Paff. We'll call on you next.
Yes, thank you. We discussed this at length at the policy development meetings that we had, and it was just more or less an option to get it in there because we just can't make an offer on that land. It has to be done with an appraisal because that is the law, or else we'd be held responsible for maybe buying the land too cheap, or else we'd be asking too much and we could be sued later for it. So we do have to have an appraisal and have the option to look at different avenues of where it could be. So as far as putting the amendment in there to drop it, I would be voting against that.
Ralph Geary.
Well, I don't think the amendment's out of order at all, since you've already said we could do it anyway 5 years down the line. If it was in here or not, we could do it. I think at some point in time, the City of La Crosse is going to have to show up at Public Works or one of the planning meetings because it's a city road that leads into the entrance in the industrial park. Once it gets to our property, yeah, we can redesign it there. But is the city planning on doing anything with their road? You got to get through their road before you can get to the landfill, because that's all City of La Crosse. And if they're not going to redesign it, or if they wanted to purchase additional right away, they could do that.
For clarification, an appraisal is in the works?
Yes.
What's the time frame on that?
The appraiser was in La Crosse this week. He met with Hank, and he also met with Jim Spropoulos and me. Hopes to have the appraisal done early July. He said he got several weeks setback because of a lightning strike that wiped out his hard drives on his computer. But he is getting his information back and is able to do this. So once that appraisal is done, it'll go to Hank, and I assume it will go to the Public Works Committee at some future date.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I supported this site plan at committee. I definitely support the redesign of the entrance. I appreciate Mr. Cook's vision for that. I also support Mr. Ferry's amendment. I think, we're in the planning stages, obviously. I think until we get an engineering plan and get all those details firmed up, we may purchase additional right away, we may not. We really don't know. So I guess I would encourage all of you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. And that, what Mr. Ferry stated right with his amendment, is why I voted against it in committee. Everything that needs to be done out there to do what they want to do can be done with the land that we already have. So I would encourage you to support this amendment.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you. I look at this plan as sort of a checklist, tick list, whatever you want, a to-do list, in that you know, when we go through succession planning and turnovers and those kinds of things, I like the most information of all the possibilities in a written form. It doesn't say you have to do this, you have to do that, but at least you know that that has been discussed, it has been considered. Perhaps it will send you to, you know, another meeting's minutes or something to find out more about it. So rather than having it get lost in the circular file or wherever, I would just like to see it there as something to remember that we did talk about this as well. So I don't think it commits us to anything, but it keeps the picture much more complete.
Marilyn Pedretti.
I'm confused. Charlie, you said that this gives us a chance to, I mean, we have to do it, but if it's not in here, if this amendment passes and it's not in here, what happens with this appraisal we get back in July or August? Does it go nowhere then because it's not in our plan?
Well, I think either way, whether it's in this master plan or not, that's something that you can consider as a county board, which direction you need to go. This is a plan. It's not an ordinance. It's not a resolution. None of that. So either way,
but
whether it's in here or not, we know it's a discussion item. We know there's controversy with it. We know it's something that needs further study, etc. So whichever way you go with this amendment, it's going to be something that you'll address later.
But it just seems to me that if it's a plan, you should have all possibilities in a plan versus...
Well, this is the plan that we're recommending.
Okay.
So, you know, would I rather see it in there? Yes. As the person that drafted this plan, would I rather see it in there? Yes. But does it need to be in there? No.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can ask Supervisor Schrader a question. In committee, did you offer this as an amendment and it was rejected? I apologize. I didn't read the committee minutes clearly enough to know the answer to this.
I did not offer it as an amendment, no.
Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I, as one who's went out and walked this property and stuff, and I certainly see no reason to purchase the additional right away. I think the problem with leaving it in is I can just see the whereas somewhere down the line when it comes to this, whereas the La Crosse County Board has approved, in its plan, the purchase of this additional property. I think it just sets up a momentum that's not necessary. We all know this is going to come back. And to take it out of the plan, I just think is a wiser thing. I don't think that we should be in the business of buying land if we don't need. If this comes up that we need it, and when the appraisal comes through, we'll address it at that time. But I certainly will support the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Bev Mack.
What if you just changed that first phrase and said, consider purchasing additional right-of-way, and put a period there, and then go on with redesign entrance scale, or I don't know how you, but instead of saying purchase additional right-of-way, which sounds like we got to do it, you say consider it. So then you can choose to do it, or you choose not to, or you consider not even looking at the idea. But just don't make it sound like we say we're going to do it. Just add the word consider or something to that effect.
Is that an amendment or a comment?
I'd like to amend the amendment.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to state it.
Okay. Ms. Mack is submitting an amendment to the amendment, which would the amendment deletes that provision, so you'd have to do it as a separate amendment.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, sorry.
So I amend that we...
No, you can't yet.
Can't yet.
We'd have to vote that one down.
Okay.
All right. Well, actually, or if it passed, then you could do a whole new phrase in there, but it can't amend that one. Jim Burns.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify Supervisor Pedretti's concern, the appraisal has nothing to do with this plan. We can ask for an appraisal. It doesn't matter what the plan says. We can ask for any appraisal we want. I guess I have a question for Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook, until we see an engineering design for the entrance, we may or may not purchase this property, correct? Purchase property?
until we see a comparison of alternatives, we have not formulated a recommendation.
Okay.
And so, you know, at this time, I'm not an objection to this, the First Amendment that's being proposed here, as long as we have the understanding that that does not prohibit us from looking at the alternatives, which includes looking at that property. That's all we've asked throughout this process, is to simply look at them. We have not asked to purchase the property. If the county board is concerned that we will overstep our bounds, I have no objection to this amendment.
Thank you. Very well said. Thank you.
Can I just offer a suggestion on what I think I hear both sides saying on this that might work is kind of along the lines of what Bev is saying here, where it says purchase additional right-of-way. It would reflect actually what we're doing, which is investigate the purchase of additional right-of-way, because we are doing that. I mean, that is what's going on right now. Mr. Ferries, is that consistent with what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to withdraw your amendment? Yeah, and I would have you resubmit it with that change. Okay. And who's the seconder on that one? Jeff Schrader? I know. Vicky Burke doesn't like me to do this. I know. By unanimous consent, you could do anything if there's unanimous consent to doing it. I'm just trying to facilitate the meeting because we're getting bogged down in something that really isn't worth getting bogged down in. Is there any objection to allowing them to withdraw their amendment? Okay, Ms. Burke. Ms. Burke objects to that. All right, so we'll vote on the amendment.
Point of information before we vote on this.
What's that?
You can vote on whether to allow him to withdraw.
Oh, okay. All in favor of allowing Mr. Ferries to withdraw his amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
One no is Mr. Schrader. Okay, now, Mr. Ferries, you want to try Plan B, which would add the words investigate the purchase and then also the word of.
Okay, I'd like to make amendment to Chapter 6 under medium term to state investigate the purchase additional right-of-way.
We'd also have the word add the word of between purchase and additional. Okay, is there a second to Mr. Ferry's amendment? Second by Jim Burns. Okay, discussion on his amendment. Jeff Schrader.
Mr. Ferries?
Yes, sir.
Does that also include Chapter 9, land purchase for the entrance amendments in 2011?
I'm not following you.
Go to Chapter 9.
Yep.
Mr. Ferries, I think the right answer to that would be yes. You had intended to say that it also will say the word investigate there. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. I was starting to read from the top down.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, land purchase for entrance amendment.
I thought that's what I heard you say before.
That's exactly
right. All right, that's part of it. Thank you, Mr. Ferries. Further discussion on that item? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. And thank you for catching that, Mr. Schrader. All right, on the resolution, Maureen Friedland.
I want to amend my negative energy before that I threw out with Mr. Cook's positive energy and have him tell us a little bit about what the overall plan is and what steps were involved in getting here, and just to spend, you know, maybe a minute talking about his vision and what this means to the community and to the natural life of the area and so forth. Because I think we've, like, lost the whole point of this in getting bogged down.
Hank, can you give us some positive energy?
Point of order.
You're opposed to positive energy?
Things? Hey, is this on the agenda? Isn't this better for a planning meeting to put that on instead of blogging it?
What I heard her ask is for 60 seconds to talk about the resolution that we're actually voting on, so I think it's germane. Go ahead, Hank.
How many seconds?
She had asked for about 60 seconds. Go for it, Hank. One, two, three.
The most important aspect of this land use plan is that on three occasions we've been refused by the City of La Crosse for building permits. In 2006, they asked for this plan. In 2009 and 2010, they denied permits. We had to go through a process. This plan is about facilitating those permits. Unfortunately, this entrance area has came in and polarized the plan. I want to give you absolute assurance. I haven't made up my mind on what is the best alternative. I haven't seen the engineering studies. I will bring them back to you dutifully, present them to you, along with many other concepts for that property. That property is a gem in La Crosse County, sitting at the intersection of Highway 16 and the interstate. Our life is 30-some years there right now. We have the ability to expand that site 20 additional years. We have to take care of the landfill for 40 years. If you have grandchildren, they can retire from the landfill with a job there. And taking care of that
Yippee.
Land, to me, is really important. I'm sorry this entrance area has so polarized it, but the land is more important out there than just the entrance.
And he did that within 60 seconds. Good job, Hank. Beth Mack.
I told Hank some of this, but I read this and I thought, Hank's optimism has influenced the people who put this form together. It was so optimistic and it had such vision of what you can do with a landfill. I loved it.
This is pretty exciting stuff here tonight. I can hardly contain myself. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor of the resolution as amended, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. I guess that would be it for you, Mr. Swiker.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 6-23 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees have been a faithful part of providing the best of public service in La Crosse County, including Mary Hum, the library system, for 26-plus years, Rita Logging, Lakeview Health Center, for 23-plus years, Jane O'Neill at Hillview Healthcare Center, 21-plus years, and Catherine Krajewski, Hillview Healthcare Center, 36-plus years. And whereas it is the wish of the County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude, I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 6-24 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution authorizing certain county officers to express official intent regarding capital expenditures to be reimbursed from the proceeds of obligations. Whereas the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, hereafter known as the issuer, wishes from time to time to advance monies from available funds to pay the costs of capital projects, including, without limitation, the highway projects in the amount of $1,600,000 approved by the County Board of Supervisors in the 2011 budget, and whereas all or a portion of the expenditures related to the projects may be made from available funds, known as the expenditures hereafter, and whereas the issuer reasonably expects to reimburse itself or pay from the expenditures with the proceeds of general obligation bonds or notes or revenue bonds of the issuer, hereinafter known as the obligations, and whereas under federal tax law, in order for the issuer to reimburse itself for such expenditures from the proceeds of tax-exempt obligations of the issuer and some taxable obligations of the issuer, a declaration of official intent must be made by the issuer. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the County Board of Supervisors of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, that the issuer reasonably expects to reimburse or pay the expenditures with proceeds of the obligations, that the obligations will be issued to finance, and the expenditures will be made to pay for the cost of projects approved by the County Board of Supervisors, and the County Administrator and Finance Director of the County is hereby authorized to execute from time to time declarations of official intent on behalf of the issuer, expressing the intent of the issuer to reimburse the expenditure for the projects with the proceeds of the obligations in substantially the same form as Exhibit A attached to and made part of this resolution, and the obligations will be issued within 18 months after the latter of either the date on which the expenditure is made or the date on which the property relating to the expenditure is placed in service or abandoned, but in no event more than 3 years after the expenditure is made. All actions of the officers, agents, and employees of the issuer that are in conformity with the purposes and intent of this resolution, whether taken before or after the adoption hereof, are hereby ratified, confirmed, and approved, and this resolution shall be in full force and effect immediately upon its adoption. Fiscal note is the 2011 county budget authorizes $1.6 million of borrowing for 2011 highway capital improvements. This resolution ensures compliance with federal law to permit reimbursement with bond proceeds to be sold later in 2011 and authorizes the county administrator and finance director to express official intent for capital expenditures to be reimbursed from bond proceeds in the future. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Margaret Wood. Discussion or questions? Leon Paff.
Who's been doing this before? We've been paying the bills.
I'll have Gary answer that.
There are occasions that can be kind of unique. Highway, of course, through the budget process, were authorized to borrow money, and they want to get started on their project. Okay, they actually wanted to get started or want to get started now to do culvert work on two different roads. However, Steve and I know that because of the low interest rates, we also want to refinance some of our older debt. But we can't refinance our older debt until October 1st because there's a call date, a call provision. We can't call those notes until October 1st. And we can save money if we do the highway borrowing and the refunding at the same time. So that's really what we're trying to accomplish here.
Jeff Schrader.
Do you have more? Follow up. Okay,
go ahead.
Just follow up on that then. Will this be, would your ever pull this back the way it was before then, or was this, hasn't this lower interest rates been going on for a few years now? So getting through it before, how did you get through it before, or what did you do, and why is it necessary now, and will it be necessary in the future?
Well, it might be necessary in the future. Again, whenever there are occasions where we want to combine borrowings, and we can't do the refunding yet. So, you know, again, this authorizes us to go ahead and start the work because there are federal guidelines that we can't, you know, there's some the days that was talked about in the resolution. we can't begin the work until we're authorized to do the borrowing, but we don't want to do the borrowing yet until we coordinate it with the other one. So there will be possible occasions in future years where we will also have to do this. The IRS has tightened up requirements is basically why we're starting this policy now.
That answer your question, Leon? Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Does this mean that they won't be able to do the projects this summer? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
But you're going to borrow the money in the fall.
That's right, because you know that even though we needed to borrow the money to balance the budget, they do have some cash that they can use immediately. So they'd like to get going on the work.
So they're going to start without. Yep. Okay. Right.
Dan Bina.
I guess I read through this four times, and it looked like an attorney put it together. That's why I couldn't quite understand what you're talking about here. So are you basically taking the committee out of the yes and no about what we're going to do and putting it in the hands of you two guys?
No, not really. Again, what we're trying to do is the committee, or actually the county board, has already authorized the county to go ahead and borrow.
I agree.
Okay, we've already authorized that.
But so, we didn't borrow yet.
No, that's true. We haven't borrowed yet.
Okay.
So you're absolutely good. That's a good point, Don. The county board will still have to authorize the borrowing. It's just allowing us to go ahead and start spending money. It's giving Steve.
So you're not spending from the same pot. You're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul and then reimbursing it later.
Exactly. Correct. That's what we're doing.
Okay, no. I would hope that when you do that, you run it through whatever committee you're talking about, whether it's Human Services or Highway or whatever, to keep them abreast about what's sure. going on, because if committee members don't are taken out of the loop, all of a sudden we've got two guys in the county making all the decisions, and we ought to know what's going right. on in some of the committees we sit on. Okay, thanks.
Steve?
I just want to remind everybody, we wouldn't do this without it already being in the budget. We wouldn't be initiating a process for borrowing had that not already been a policy decision of the board. So this is not surpassing that. That's just making sure we comply with IRS rules.
It looked to me like you were setting some new rules up, and that bothered me a little bit, but I kind of understand it now.
We don't have the power to sell debt without your authority and approval. We would just initiate the process based on the budget that you've already adopted.
Other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the request of a fellow supervisor, I'm asking unanimous consent to shift to item 2-26 at this time.
6-26?
I'm sorry, 6-26.
Any objection? Hearing none, we'll go to that.
Thank you. This is the second reading or second consideration of an ordinance to create section 30.79 entitled Waterway Markers and Regulatory Signage Regulations of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move its approval.
This is the second reading. Ms. Johnson moves approval. Andrea Richmond seconds. Discussion. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. I wasn't able to, I think we discussed this before, but I wasn't able to find the ordinance. Does this say that people have to pay for the buoys in our no wake zones that the county has established? Is that what it says?
Bill, do you have the answer to that? Jerry Sobranek is giving you a hint. He says yes.
Yes, the answer is yes. It does. It provides for an inspection. There will be a charge.
Go ahead.
A permit fee.
So we're charging these people to inspect the buoys that we require in our no wake zones. Is that what's going on?
I think these are buoys that they are requesting to be placed out there. Apparently, there's been kind of a haphazard way that they've placed them that isn't always legal, and so this is an effort to get that cleaned up. But if they want a buoy, they have to pay an annual permit fee to cover the cost.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see they talk about that the expense for the ordinance shall accrue to either the county or the city of La Crosse, depending on which entity staffs the Joint Harbor Commission for that year. Will the county set the fee? Will the city? Will it alternate? Who's going to set the fee?
Anybody know the answer to that?
It's my recollection from a meeting that I was at that the county will set the fee.
Okay. I guess I would like to amend that it says that then, because from what I could read here, it doesn't really say. So since I don't have the unit here, how can I do that, Mr. Chair?
Vicki Burke has a point of information. Can you use your microphone?
Yes. For the executive board, at least they say the fee is to be set by the City County Board of Harbor Commissioners and the county board.
All right, so it'll come through here.
But is a set of minutes, does that have legal over the actual ordinance?
Terry Johnson acts like she knows the answer on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's actually in Section 5, the fees section of the ordinance, that says the annual fee for a local waterway marker permit issued by the Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners shall be set by the Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners and approved by the County Board of Supervisors from time to time.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you. Just a point of information. I believe the fee is $100. And the distance from your dock or your boathouse is 100 feet.
Ginny says she thinks the buoy permits are 10.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's 10 to 1.
Okay. Any further questions or comments, Ray Ebert?
So there is no fee until we approve it, correct?
I assume under this ordinance, if this ordinance is just going into effect, that would create a new fee.
Yeah, but I mean, we will get to approve that fee, so it's not $100, it's not $10, it's nothing at the moment until we approve it, correct?
Yes. Bill says yes.
Thank you.
All right. Jerry Sobranek.
Can we table this till we get some information? Is there a rush on this? Can we table this in the next month when we can get all these answers?
Mr. Meyer, I'm going to ask you, as a member of the Harbor Commission, the two questions. The timeliness, does this need to be done this month? Secondly, has your body discussed the amount of the fee?
I don't think it has to be done this month. The amount of the fee I thought was $10. I never heard $100. I don't know where that came from.
How long have you been doing it? Ginny says that they've been selling buoy permits already. Dang, they're good. They're really on top of things. $10.
$10. They've been coming to your office?
We haven't got an ordinance yet.
Who's going to enforce it?
Well, the city, county harbor commission will go out and check the sure. locate. The whole thing here is mainly the location of, because people just put them in and they don't put them where they should be, and that's what they're trying to correct.
Okay. Question for you, Ginny. How was it that you came to be selling those? I mean, did like Larry Kirch come over and, or I mean, somebody?
Carl Green came to our office and asked us if we'd be able to accept the money on their behalf. It's easier for us to accept it and get it deposited into account instead of UW Extension, who normally doesn't deal with a lot of cash transactions up in their office.
Okay, here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that we approve this tonight because they're already doing it, but that we next month get a report back in terms of how they came up with the fee and maybe perhaps even have us approve the fee. I mean, it's a little bit after the fact, but... I mean, it sounds like they're already doing it, and you've sold some already? Okay. I mean, so it's already happening. So if we can kind of catch up with the process, that would help. So I will ask that it be put on the agenda for next month for whatever purpose to get the loose ends tied up. We still need to – yeah, thanks. Thanks, Don.
Where's the fighting Coast Guard?
Yeah. He's going to be the enforcer. All right. Any further discussion on the proposed ordinance? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
One no, Coast Guard guy. All right. That gets us to next item, Ms. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 6-25 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding the county administrator contract renewal from 2012 to 2015. Whereas it is necessary and desirable to approve changes in the contract for the terms and conditions of employment of the county administrator from January 1, 2012, and the executive committee has met and considered the modification of provisions to provide for continuity of leadership for the next 4 years. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the contract terms, a copy of which is hereto attached, be approved as the terms and conditions of employment between La Crosse County and County Administrator Steve O'Malley for a renewal contract. Be it further resolved that the county board chair and county clerk are authorized and directed to sign the renewal contract for the period beginning January 1, 2012. Fiscal note is, in 2012, the county administrator's salary will be $162,344 and any increase granted by the county board for non-union employees. The estimated total compensation of the county administrator in 2012 will then be will include a reduction in WRS of at least $9,880. The roll-up costs to the county is reduced from 20.35% to 14.55%. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Jill Billings. Discussion.
Point of information.
Point of information, Mr. Spiker.
The executive committee action is 7-0-2. That's incorrect. According to the minutes, the executive minutes of 6-8-11, And I know I voted no, so I corrected it, checked the minutes. And I just want to point out that's incorrect committee.
So it should say
612.
612. Okay. And the here instead of. Okay. All right, discussion. The NPAF.
Seeing there was a vote against it, I would like to have him explain why.
Can you talk a little louder into the microphone, Leon?
Seeing there was one vote in opposition to it, I would like to know why, if there was an explanation.
Mr. Spiker, do you wish to answer that?
I opposed it, and it's nothing reflecting on Steve. I think he does an outstanding job. But the retention part of it bothered me for 4 years, and last year was $12,000. The salary itself, looking at other counties and that, and using the comparables that we do with unions and that, is rather high. I have also a question for Mr. Tont on the fiscal note. Could I ask that question, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely. Mr. Tont, can you come up to the podium?
When you figure out, Bob, the fiscal note, this is a four-year contract. Why on the fiscal note is there 1 year on there?
It can be done many ways. The way it was done is to show what the first year of the contract is. The second, third, fourth years of the contract, the wage will depend on what you approve for the management employees and or Steve, so that we can't calculate that in at this point.
Well, you have a four-year contract. You have certain things that are givens that are you're committed when you approve it. I just, and again, it's nothing reflected. It'd be any county administrator, I'd ask the same question, because that figure would be $700,000-$800,000. Wouldn't that be true?
Well, you could take this 162,344 times four.
And then the other fringe benefits that person mm-hmm. would get? Wouldn't mm-hmm. that be a cost that we're going to have to pay unless we fire him or he resigns? Isn't that true?
No, your liability if you fire him is six months.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since Mr. Taunt's up there, I do have another question about the fiscal note. It's clear that in 2012, the county administrator's salary would be $162,344. What is not clear is what is Mr. O'Malley's total compensation amount. And I do have a question about that, and then I'd like to make an amendment if possible. So in addition to base salary, Mr. Taunt, could you just outline other expenses paid by the county in Mr. O'Malley's
sure.
2012? Other compensation, other benefits?
And I apologize if this is not clear. We're trying to deal with several things, including the reduction in the WRS here. But 162,344 is the current salary for 2011. Now, if you grant any increase in 2012, it'll be different. But what's missing here is the roll-up costs, which we mentioned, but we didn't put the dollar figure in. The roll-up includes 11.6% for the Wisconsin Retirement Fund today, but in a few weeks, that's going to change. But let me just go on. It's currently 11.6% for Wisconsin Retirement Fund. There's 1.1% that goes to prior service where the county, I think, is really paying back itself. And then there's 7.65% Social Security. If you add those all together, it's 20.35%. That's an additional amount of money that, if you add that to the 162,344, comes to total compensation with roll-ups of $195,381. Now that's not going to be what the cost is January 1 of 2011, because as mentioned here, there's going to be a reduction of the WRS of close to $10,000, and Again, we have a problem because we're not sure what the WRS is going to be for 2012. They haven't set the number yet, but Steve will pay 50% of whatever it is, and so we estimated that at $98.80. So if you subtract that from the $195,381, you have a total present cost effective in about 2 or 3 weeks after the budget repair bill takes place of about $185,965.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Taunt. In that number, does that include deferred compensation as well? Isn't that part of his total compensation?
That's not included in the cost because it's the deferred compensation. There's no taxes on that at present.
But money's being paid, $8,000 is being paid, right, to Mr. O'Malley?
And I apologize if you want to add $8,000, that goes on top of the $162,344.
Okay, so I guess what I'd like to amend this resolution to be is I understand the 2012 base salary is $162,344. That's clear. What I want to amend this fiscal note to include is total compensation amount, which you articulated just now, to be around $185,965 plus $8,000, correct?
Correct.
So I guess I'd like to make that that amendment to this fiscal note, just so we have a clear idea about what the total compensation is.
Mr. Burns moves to add the rest of those details to the fiscal note. Is there a second? Second by Jerry Sobranek. Any discussion on that one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, thank you, Mr. Burns. That was a good point. Further discussion? Ralph Geary.
Well, I've got a few questions and a few comments. What was the process on this contract negotiations? Was it one-on-one?
Yes.
And did he just type up a proposal and then you looked it over and okayed it? Or?
Well, I would say one-on-one times several. I mean, he talked to me about it. He talked to Bob Taunt about it. He talked to Bill about it. I assume maybe he talked to Gary about it. Not all together. I think he's had discussions probably with Terry Johnson.
Well, personally, I'm very dissatisfied the county board was left out of the loop. That's how we end up getting these kind of messy meetings.
No, Ralph, this is the loop.
No,
you're not out of the loop. This is the loop.
If it was coming due, my suggestion would have been the county board should have been informed, had a closed session. What kind of information should we do? Just kind of kicked around a little bit. Other than getting it dumped on us, you got to vote it up or down. But here and there, it's over. Okay, La Crosse is a desirable place to work. Think of the department heads we've lost in the last. You know, they retired. Human services guy gone. When Jerry left, I thought, God, how are you going to replace that guy? We're a good place to work. We attract quality people. We've never had any problems attracting quality people. When somebody leaves, another one seems to fill the void. And when you set salaries, you got to use some kind of benchmarks. And many of us in here, you said on personnel, the benchmarks were other counties. I remember sitting there one time, and I don't know how many were still on personnel, where the county police wanted to use the city police as their comparables because they pay more. Who doesn't want to have a comparable that pays more? You don't want to have comparables that pay less. Time and time again, the arbitrators have told us who our comparables are. They're other counties. I asked Bob to email out what he had, and from the survey of other counties, and he didn't have them all done, but... And the people without county email maybe didn't receive that, so possibly Bob could make hard copies for those if they wanted at some point in time. But the bottom line is we pay our administrator more than any administrator in the state. Some counties have administrative coordinators. We pay them more than any administrative coordinator in the state. Some counties have county executives like Milwaukee or Madison, big areas. We pay them more than they do. So the thing about we can't attract quality people when we pay higher than anybody in the state of Wisconsin kind of befuddles me, to say the least. And look at the people in La Crosse County, what they earn. Are we the highest paid people in the state? Is it the eastern part of the state or the western part of the state? The eastern part of the state pays higher than the western. Us in Eau Claire and our other comparables, us in Eau Claire are usually at the bottom because we're in the western part, and our other comparables that are mainly in the eastern part are the higher. So to get something on the floor, on page 2 of the contract, you've got a bunch of letters, and one is letter G, annual retention award. I move to delete section G, annual retention award.
I'm going to ask Bill Shepard to weigh in on that.
It's my opinion that you have three choices on this resolution, with the exception of the amendment that Mr. Burns made, which was appropriate. You can vote to approve, you can vote to reject, or you can vote to refer to committee with directions. You cannot, this is a negotiated contract that you cannot unilaterally negotiate this contract in this meeting. If you want to have a committee set up to further negotiate, refer to a committee with directions.
I've never quite heard that ruling before. We brought in a resolution we're supposed to approve, and you're saying we can't amend it. And what committee?
No, what I'm saying, Mr. Geary, is you can't amend the contract because this is not a negotiation session. A contract is a two-party negotiation, and Mr. O'Malley is not negotiating this contract with you tonight. If you want to further negotiate this contract, you need to refer it to a committee to do that. You cannot make unilateral changes tonight in a contract.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion on a committee? I mean, the one-on-one committee isn't the one I'm suggesting.
Executive committee has authority over these
okay.
items.
Okay. I'll move to refer it to the executive committee.
Mr. Geary moves to refer the contract to the executive committee. Is there a second? Seconded by Jeff Schrader. What I'm going to do is allow discussion on both the amendment and the underlying resolution at this point because I think they're kind of integrated. I think it would be way too complicated to force people to talk only one or the other. So I'm going to be flexible in that regard. So discussion on either the motion to send back to committee or on the resolution or the contract itself. I have a number of hands that are up. I'm going to try to get to all of you in the order that I saw them. I saw Arlene Benrud next.
Thank you, Chairman. 21 years ago, and I'm not including the 2 years that I was off, we had a person in IT that came and wanted a raise. It didn't pass, so the next day she sent a letter of resignation and she went to work for Logistic Health. She was excellent. She's still down there. Second one, we had Pat Thompson came. He did an excellent job. He just asked for, I think, an extension. And the board voted no, and I voted yes. He went out to Colorado. I was at a conference in Colorado, and he stayed at the same hotel. I could not believe how much he was making, like $200,000. This is quite a while ago. And he had 6 people that he supervised. It was a good move for him. So now we have Steve O'Malley that comes here. He's doing an excellent job. I hear that when I go to state. They all talk about it. They look at lacrosse. I tell them, give O'Malley a call. He will help you. So I'm definitely for this resolution. Thank you.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. I think referral is a good idea. I'm a Steve O'Malley. I'm on his fan club, although I didn't get to be the chairman of his fan club. Somebody else got that. But with the feedback that I've been getting, and I've gotten very little because this was just published in the paper, I think it was yesterday or today, I can't remember. The feedback that I've been getting is, for the most part, not good. They really don't understand it. And I would like to see, the reason I'd like to see this referred is so this whole thing can be printed into paper so there's public knowledge of what we're going to be paying our administrator. That's a lot of money for most of the people that live in my district anyway. And those are my concerns. Thank you.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this a good time to add suggestions to the if this gets referred? Or when? I mean, we're just.
I would say if you want to make comments about what you think the executive committee should do, but if we start getting too many more amendments.
I won't put anything in the form of a motion. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I do ask my own opinion. I know in the past when we've decided on salaries for county, I guess, is it called executive positions or elected positions? I know we've looked at comparables in the past. For example, sheriff, clerk of courts, and for those elected offices. And I know we've used comparables. I know we looked at comparables when we set Mr. O'Malley's initial salary, correct? We used some kind of comparable when we – somebody help me with this. Did we have some comparables when Mr. O'Malley was first hired in 2002 or 2004?
We may have been aware of them. I don't. My recollection was that even when we first hired him, he exceeded the comparables.
Okay, thank you. So I guess my suggestion would be to do some analysis with just to see where our county administrator is at compared to other comparable counties that we usually look at for those other offices. I think Mr. Taunt put together a document. Entitled Comparative Data on County Administrators, correct? And that was done on 6/14. And I believe, Mr. Taunt, I'm not sure if you did this or not, but did you also put together the 5-year costing of administrative contract?
Right.
Okay, so Mr. Taunt put together two excellent documents, and I don't know if that was privy to the entire county board. I got it in an email. But I guess I would suggest that these two documents are forwarded to all county board members, and then it'd be nice to have the executive committee look at comparables. Maybe they did that. I guess. Thank you.
Our county clerk has pointed out to me that the contract is published on our website. It's attached to the agenda for tonight's meeting. That gets us to Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this contract was negotiated in good faith, and I trust the process. I don't think the executive committee needs to handle it again. In terms of comparables, Steve O'Malley has no comparables. He's the best in the state, some of whom need two full-time deputies, and I move to close debate.
There are some people who have not spoken yet, so I'm not going to accept that motion. Jill Billings.
Thank you. Thank you for not closing debate. I think that we can refer this to committee if people wish, but I think the committee had an overwhelming vote of confidence in this contract. And why? Because of who O'Malley is. His salary is healthy. There's no argument there. But I see his salary as an important investment in the success of our county. I've seen that as I go to WCA meetings where people say, this guy is great. How much do you pay him? Can we steal him away? I see it statewide where he's asked to testify in front of the legislature. That wasn't by accident. That was because of his skill and his ability to communicate, to research issues. He received the Frederick County Government Award because of his great work that he's done with counties. He's a leader countywide. And I think staff here in La Crosse County appreciates that leadership and that professionalism. I think that this is a great place to live, but I think part of the reason why we have such great staff is because of our reputation, and O'Malley's a huge part of that. People see this as a good place to work, a good, healthy environment for working, and that's in large part because of O'Malley. I think we need a 4-year contract. I think that there are people who are out there. I know there are people out there who have offered. He's had several offers to go other places, and I want him here. I think that we have imminent changes that are coming in the future with retirement of other management, with a new chair, with uncertainty of the budget, and as we enter that dark forest of what are we going to do with our budget the next few years, I would like to have O'Malley here still at the helm. I said this the last time we looked at his contract, and I will say it again. I did not run for office to be a cog in a wheel. to do things the same way they've always been done. I ran to make a difference in La Crosse County. And I think that here with my colleagues, with our staff, with our administrator, that I've been able to do that. And that gives me a great feeling of satisfaction. I want to continue down that road. When it came to setting up our OWI treatment court, I called O'Malley. I got to sit down with him, talk about how we could work this into the budget and make it work. And it's paid off with lack of recidivism. It's paid off time and again. And I see that in other areas like Mississippi Valley Health Systems, what we've done with our LEC addition, that it's come in on time and under budget. O'Malley has a vision, a work ethic, and a continued drive to make things happen. If you look at his contract, in fact, there's a section that says, the county administrator understands and agrees that an average level of performance is not acceptable under this contract, and the administrator must consistently exhibit above average skill and diligence and initiative in exercising the duties of this position. And I believe that's what we have here, and I want to continue with that. We are known statewide for that. And I want to continue on that tradition. I'm sorry, I know I'm going a little long, so I apologize. But I also would like to, coincidentally, in Sunday's Tribune, I'd like to read you a paragraph from the opinion page from the editorial column. It says, "The excellent professionalism demonstrated by county."
Is this on the amendment?
I believe that the chair said.
She's on the topic.
I believe the chair said he would give latitude because it's all so intertwined. So the excellent professionalism demonstrated by County Administrator Steve O'Malley should serve as a model for why this structure would improve operations at City Hall, just as it has for the taxpayers of La Crosse County. His work on the Lakeview Health Center saved the county more than $70,000, as we mentioned in the 2008 editorial. So it's not just me. This is his excellence is seen statewide. It's with our staff. It's with our city, where he definitely has a part in community organizations, either as a member or supporting them. He's part of this community. He wants to stay here, even though he's been offered good packages other places. And I urge you to vote to keep him here.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Got a question. Mr. Taunt, how many employees are employed at La Crosse County right now?
Approximately 1,380.
Okay. I'm not sure we should use comparables. Many counties differ from La Crosse, and I'm not sure what will be accomplished by sending this back to executive. I'm opposed to that. You have county board supervisors that really, I'm not sure they have the experience in doing those evaluations properly. I asked Mr. Taunt this morning the average CEO salary for this area. He stated $193,000, but many in our area make much more than that. School administrators are at $150,000 plus benefits. I think we're making a mistake by even sending this back to executives, the executive committee. What are the costs for recruitment if perhaps he would leave? It's going to be a lot more money spent doing that. I just think that, you know, with the evaluation that I did and other comparables that was sent to me, I really feel strongly we should keep the comparable counties out of this mix, and I will support this. Thank you.
Further discussion? Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank the personnel director. He did a 5-year costing of an administrative contract, carrying it out with assumption of 2% a year and stuff. And I guess, and the comparison, I guess I don't understand why we don't get such a document. I think it would have been of great help to everyone else to see, you know, when it's carried out, what the thing, and the 2% was, well, certainly not in stone. I think that that's certainly not an unreasonable assumption. I think it'd be wonderful for everyone to get these and look at them, and you know, whether he's paid, overpaid, underpaid, it doesn't matter. We need to make decisions with figures, not a contract with some writing that doesn't show a breakout. I think I asked you, did you bring this to put up on the screen tonight?
No.
Oh, okay,
no.
I thought I'd asked if you would furnish that to everyone, because those of you who got the document, I think, will find it quite helpful. In the turn-in. The other thing I don't understand, we have an ordinance that says the administrator is selected for 2 years, appointed for 2 years. I think it's 2.01. And I don't understand why we do a four-year contract if we have an ordinance that says he should be appointed for 2 years. I would like to see this get sent back to the executive committee, and then it can come back to the full committee with these documents so that people can, again, look and get a better understanding of what the contract. Additionally, I understand that the administrator is the only person to get personal days, and I guess I don't understand that. The vacation coming up would be 65 days in 2011. I believe it is 65 days in two. Then this would be vacation days, 10 days that he bought back, so I don't want to pretend that's not 10 holidays and 10 personal days. So we have 55 days, 55 days in 2012. I believe it's 45 days in 2013, 45 in 2014, and 45 days in 2015. That's a lot of vacation. And what is that, 9 weeks? And that just seems to me to be a little excessive. I don't know how he can do a good job and take that much vacation. So I would certainly going to support sending this back to executive committee and having folks look at this. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Mr. Shepherd to address that issue of the ordinance and the two-year situation. That issue did come up the last time we had the contract.
Yes, that question was raised 3 years ago, I believe, when the current contract had been extended. We have an ordinance, it is true, that says 2 years, and I think that ordinance was adopted at the time when we were changing from the administrative coordinator to the county administrator form. And if and when Mr. O'Malley leaves, unless that ordinance is changed, that two-year term will still remain in effect. However, when this issue came up before, we asked for independent opinion from the Attorney General's office, and you know, this body had requested that, the county board chair had asked that I do that. We got a response back that basically said that the ordinances and the resolutions are the way that this body evidences its intent. Neither one is superior. However, we do have ordinances that tend to be of a more permanent nature, so that we can find them if you want to know what was passed 10 years ago or 5 years ago. This resolution does not change the ordinance. It just basically evidences the intent of this body to give recognition to the value of Mr. O'Malley's service and the wish to retain him for the four-year term of the contract. And the Attorney General said that was clearly a local matter. It wasn't governed by statute, and that this body can do that. And clearly, this contract, it still remains at will, which means that the county board, with due notice, can decide to terminate his contract. There is a severance provision. That severance provision has been in all of his contracts. So he does serve at your will, even though the term is 4 years. Thank you.
Dan Ferries. I have Dan Ferries, Vicki Burke, Margaret Wood. Did I see your hand, John, or no? No. I saw Tara Johnson. Is there anybody else that I'm missing? Okay, that's who I have on the list. Okay, Dan Ferries.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. With this much discussion, I'm going to vote to send this back to committee. But I don't want. I think that Steve O'Malley has done an awesome job. His performance level has been very high, and not that anybody's saying anything bad about his ability. But I think representing the people that elected us. And with this just being published, it was this morning's newspaper, I just think that a 30-day send it back wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Thank you.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that it's very difficult to put a price on exceptional performance. And I think one of the things we saw with just the last few days working with the budget out of the state capitol, that we had someone who was able to make contacts and to have some influence about major problems that the budget would have caused for La Crosse County. And so and the fact that we anticipate even more difficult times, I think it would be to our advantage to have someone who had those exceptional talents to help us through that period.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think looking around, most of us have had the opportunity to work under the directorship of a manager, a supervisor, a principal, so we actually have our own comparables that we can compare someone with intelligent, creative leadership. And I think that similar to what Supervisor Burke said, it's hard to put a price on it. But, you know, if you just said, is this worth, you know, a quarter? Is his leadership worth a quarter to the citizens of La Crosse and the county? I don't know. I just figured, you know, the La Crosse, just La Crosse citizens itself, it would be $15,000. Okay, so then you go to the county. So, you know, we might get up to $40,000 less of compensation. I mean, when you parse it out per person, it's, you know, between 10 and 25 cents a person in the county, and we certainly are getting that in the savings that we have already. So I would support the contract as it is written. And the other thing I think is so crucial is the fact that our personnel here in these troubling times have remained positive and have given more than 100% to get this county through, because Steve has led the way and he himself has done first what he's asked everyone else to do. And that does a lot to buoy an employee's spirit, speaking from an employee's point of view.
Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to reassure County Board Supervisors that this has been an agenda item on the Executive Committee. And if the first time that you saw this was in the paper today, then that's very unfortunate, because it's in our minutes, it's been on our agenda. And while there has been additional information gathered by Mr. Taunt at the request of supervisors, which I think is helpful and informative, it is not really, in my opinion, the point of this discussion tonight and of this contract. Just a few months ago, we approved contracts for union employees. And while there was some debate on that resolution, it was not primarily about numbers and figures and percentages. It was a philosophical debate. And when we debated non-represented employees and matched what we had given to union employees in terms of extension of those terms, again, it was primarily not a debate about numbers and percentages. It was a philosophical debate. And I would challenge us to think tonight of this in the same terms, that this is a contract for our number one employee, and it is a contract that was deliberated in a good process by the committee that is assigned to do this work, and that what is before us is a decision about whether or not we want Steve O'Malley to continue to be our county administrator. And the dollars are shocking sometimes, and I'm certain that we have heard in the community discussion about it once it did hit the newspaper. There have been many supervisors who have made good points about those numbers. I'm encouraging us to vote tonight not to refer it back to the executive committee, to reject that amendment, and to approve the contract as is before us in the resolution as a demonstration of our support for Steve O'Malley, who, as we have all said, is doing an outstanding job leading this county.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On a question of sending this back to debate, I move to limit debate. I call the question.
Well, we only have one more person that has not spoken yet, so I want to give him a chance to speak. That would be Roger Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You've heard from most of the executive committee today. Have you heard anyone in negative that is in opposition to this contract? We debated this, well, one, pardon me, but I'm talking about what will happen when it goes back to executive committee. It will come right back here next month. I know right now that nothing is going to sway my opinion to change my mind on how I would vote. And quite frankly, I think that we've had all the information as far as compensation goes when you start looking at CEOs in this area. I don't care who or what company with the numbers that we have in La Crosse County, you're going to see those same type of numbers in the CEO for that company itself. I've been extremely pleased with the results that I've gotten. Whenever I've asked Steve for specifics, he's always come back with an answer for me. He's always gone the extra mile to get the work done. I'm not sure what's happening behind me, but anyway, I think it would be just a waste of time to send it back to committee because I think the same vote will come back next month. Thank you.
The motion before the board at this point is a motion to refer this back to committee. Any further discussion before we take a vote on that? Jeff Schrader?
I have a question. If this does go back to committee, then you can change some of the contract wording, or if you change that, according to what I see here, the contract is null and void. Is that right? Or
there's a contract in place right now that would remain in place. I believe it expires at the end of this year. If the committee chose to enter into negotiations to change the terms of this contract, I would assume, and Bill, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we'd probably go into closed session to do that. Okay. All right, the motion.
Well, just, I didn't get an answer from.
He said this.
Again, it is a contract between two parties, so it has to, you know, if you would request changes, it would have to be negotiated, and he doesn't have to accept them. He can reject them and move to California and take a job for $300,000 or whatever, but I guess that he always has a choice to not accept, so it's not something that you can unilaterally do without him accepting the terms, if you would like him to continue employment here.
Well, there's some contradictions in here that in number 10, the hours of work outside activities. Employment provided by this agreement shall be the county administrator's sole employment. And it's a recognizing that certain outside consulting and teaching opportunities provide indirect benefits to La Crosse County and the community, the county administrator may elect to accept limited teaching, consulting, and business opportunities outside the normal business hours of La Crosse County. So that's contradicting in itself. So I don't know why you wouldn't be able to change things like that. And just for that reason, I think it should be sent back to committee.
That's an existing term in the current contract, by the way.
It's what?
That's an existing term in his current contract.
I realize that, but it's contradicting.
All right, the motion is to refer back to committee. All in favor of referring back to committee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
I request a vote. Well, raise your hand if you voted to refer back to committee.
I think we need to vote so it's recorded right here.
It's going to be recorded. There was only about six people. Ray Ebert, Dan Ferries, Tina Weirs, Dennis Monti, Don Vina, Ralph Geary, Jim Burns, Chuck Spiker, Jeff Schrader. I believe the... I was wrong when I said six. It's a little more than that. But I believe that that fails. So the... Is there an amendment or anything at this point? Or no, we're just back to the resolution as it was presented. Discussion on the resolution. Chuck Spiker.
I asked for a roll call vote. Normally we have a roll call vote. I can just request one at any time. I don't have to have,
right,
I have to be called on, but I mean I can still request a roll call at any time.
Right.
Right? Thank you.
Well, this was a roll call. I mean, we recorded the yeses and the noes. This was the equivalent of a roll call. We got the names of who voted yes and who voted no. Further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, vote. We're doing it on the computer. So if you are in favor of the contract as presented, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. The resolution approving the contract has passed on a vote of 23-7. Yeah, she's trying to. There it is, 23-7. Was that it for the executive committee, Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
I thought it was. Okay. So that gets us to Mr. Schrader.
You know, I hope everybody doesn't think that just because you weren't voting for or against this doesn't believe that Steve O'Malley was doing a good job. I don't think that was the intent here, to make enemies of anybody. So
that gets us to Joe. Can you tell Steve to come in? That gets us to suggestions for. Oh, he's over there. I'm sorry. Suggestions for future agenda topics and announcements. Anybody have any of those? Vicki Burke.
Mr. Chairman, several supervisors spent several months on an assessment reform committee, and I don't know that, unless it happened in April when I missed the planning meeting, I don't know that we had a report to the board on what came out of that assessment reform committee.
Mr. Geary.
Mr. Blusky told me at one of the planning meetings he was going to talk to Steve or something and put it on the agenda. You saw the...
I believe the results were distributed to the board.
Right,
were,
but he was going to give a little five-minute verbal.
But we could add that to the next policy planning meeting if right. Jeff's available.
Okay,
and
we'll do that in July.
And just on the side, while she mentioned it, he said, obviously in the paper, the town of Analaska had some problems, but they've used the contract that the committee... Yeah. molded to
right.
go
we'll,
through their selection.
We'll make a note of that and look into
yeah, we'll put that on the July policy planning. Any other announcements or future agenda items?
Mr. Doyle?
Mr. O'Malley?
If I might, I know these are difficult policy decisions, but I just want to thank you. I am honored to be your county administrator. I'm going to work just as hard as I always have. I appreciate that, and we're going to make it through all these challenges ahead, and thank you for the vote of confidence. Even though there are people that didn't feel they could vote for this, I also appreciate your guidance and will continue to do the best job I can for the people of this community.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. I believe that gets us to Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we were bogged down in a discussion about the landfill, I've heard the word influence many times, which reminds me of my parents. My parents said my life has been influenced more by Plato than Plato. But I appreciate everything my parents have ever done for me, especially my mother and father. Thank you.
Are you going to add a motion to adjourn in there somewhere?
Move to adjourn.
Moved by Jerry Sobranek, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed no. Carried unanimously.